Yesterday we were reading this Prarthana prayer. Narottam Das Thakur has these two books. They're called books. Prabhupada calls them books, although they're books of songs. And one of them is Prem Bhakti Chandrika, and the other one is Prarthana. Prem Bhakti Chandrika is, that's where our Guru Vandana comes from, Guru Charana Padma. And it's sung all throughout in the same, it's the same tune, beginning to end, same tune, same meter. Prarthana is different meters, different tunes. And it's more like Thakur Bhaktivinoda's style, or rather Thakur Bhaktivinoda's style is, follows that of Prarthana, in that it presents different stages of devotional service. They become, Prabhupada says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur, they put all of our philosophy in the form of songs. And the reason for that was that particularly at that time in Bengal, there was one or two cities that you could really call cities. They were all village people, generally simple people, except for, of course, places like Navadvip, where you had scholars and learned Vaishnavas, and the idea was to actually give Krishna consciousness to them in a way that they were accustomed to. And what they were accustomed to was, which is still very traditional, is poetic and musical renditions of Ramayana, Srimad Bhagavatam, so many other, like Tulsi Ramayana. Well, that's not our Ramayana, different renditions by acharyas, and that was the idea, that because these people are interested in singing music, so put the philosophy in the form of songs by which they sing it. Obviously they sing it, they come to understand it, and then they follow it. And it was a very popular thing, and it was the same process that Bhaktivinoda Thakur also followed. Anyway, in this prarthana, Lala Samai prarthana here now, it means that one is hankering for desire and offering obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So he says, Are kare nitai chan karna hoibe samsara basana kabe tuccha habe. Are kare nitai chan karna hoibe. Lord Nityananda is the chief follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is according to our line. Advaita Charya, Gadadhar Pandit, Lord Nityananda, you could say they're all in the same category, but from a different point of, different perspective. Of course, Advaita Charya, Lord Nityananda are Vishnu Tattva, Gadadhar Pandit is Shiva Tattva, and Shivas Thakur is expansion of Narada Muni. So he's a Jiva, Avesh, Shaktavesh, but he's a Jiva. And when you go to India, you see that many in many temples they have Gaur Gadadhar that they worship. And for them, Gadadhar Pandit is the chief follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are also those who are in the line of Advaita Charya, and particularly in Shantipur, we go every year in Mayapur to the place where at excuse me, on the appearance of Madhavendra Puri, and they have this very big festival over there at Advaitacharya's house, when Advaitacharya, Lord Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were there, and they were taking prasadam at that time. So this is just preceding Gaur Purnima. And it's a very big festival, thousands and thousands of people come. And the people there, they're very nice, they're in the line of Advaitacharya, they're his followers. Generally, whatever line you're in, that's the most important one. But, as I mentioned, there's perspectives. In terms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's relishing the mellows of Radha Bhava Yutisuvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam, Srimati Radharani principally, and then gopis, Prajvasis, devotees. This is Lord Chaitanya's internal mission and desire. Then Gaur Gadadhar is generally the worshipable deity, because their Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani. And in her association, in his association, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is absorbed in like moods. But in our temple, Srila Prabhupada didn't establish Gadadhar. And while in Navadvip and Gaudiya Math temples, many are there as temples of Gadadhar, there are also many temples of Gaur Nitaya. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphasizes both, even maybe a little more Gaur Gadadhar than Gaur Nitaya. But why do the Srila Prabhupada and why are we followers of Gaur Nitaya? Because Lord Nityananda is, in Lord Nityananda's presence, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more in the mood of giving, spreading Krishna consciousness. He's more in his mood as the Yuga avatar to give prema bhakti to everyone, to get everyone involved in chanting Hare Krishna. Whereas in Gadadhar Pandit's association, he may be more inclined to taste the ecstasies of Nam Sankirtan and to give them. And therefore, for preaching, Gaur Nitaya are the worshipable deities of preachers and devotees who are primarily intent on spreading the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, giving the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to others. So here it says, Arya Kabir Nitai Chan Karuna Hoide Samsara Bhasana. Yesterday we were talking about that, this samsara bhasana, to become free from samsara, to become free from the shackles of material energy. One can only achieve that by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda means Lord Balaram. And conversely, he says that Arikabha Nitaichan Karuna Haribe, we're speaking about Nitaichan, the moon of Lord Nityananda. Everyone knows how indispensable he is in attaining devotional service, in attaining Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So without Lord Nityananda's mercy, you can't get anywhere. But he says, but what is the symptom that someone has got Lord Nityananda's mercy? Samsara Vasana, is that he is no longer under the influence of the material energy. Then he has Lord Nityananda's mercy. Otherwise, he may be in the process of getting it, but he hasn't gotten it. We're all in the process of getting it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Otherwise, we couldn't withstand the allurements of the material energy. I've mentioned this several times, but I don't think here. There's this... the current acharya, one of the acharyas of Madhava Sampradaya, Udupi, who have their center at Udupi, and his name is Pejwar Swami. and is extremely favorable to Krishna consciousness. And he's very, he holds Srila Prabhupada in very high esteem. And I think there's one letter from Srila Prabhupada to him. And if you go in the folio, you see Srila Prabhupada says, he says, there are no Brahmins in Kali Yuga, but if there are, you're the only one. Something like that. People who actually have all Brahminical qualifications. So anyway, but Pedro Swami made this statement. He said when, for instance, he heard of how devotees preach in the West, how they stand on the streets all day long selling books and so on. He said, if I were to do this, I would fall down. He said, this is only possible as if you're personally protected by Krishna and if you're empowered by Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible. So in terms of being in the process, we're in the process of getting Lord Nityananda's mercy. Otherwise, it's not possible to do this. It's not possible for sadhakas to stick their heads into, like they do in the circus, you stick your head into a lion's mouth. So it's not possible to do that unless you're really in the process of getting mercy. But we may have noticed that we're still not free from the influence of material energy, therefore the mercy hasn't fully manifest. In other words, when someone's really got the full blessings of Lord Nityananda, samsara bhasana. Bhasana means that it's cut. This samsara is cut. There's no more. No more repeated birth in that. And how do we do that? How do we get Lord Nityananda's mercy? So, there's so many wonderful songs Bhaktivinoda Thakur is singing. How does it start? Surabhi kunjete kodeha kola nitare. How does it start though? Bolesuke kaboda. So that's one beautiful song about Lord Nityananda, and there are so many other others, Lochanda Thakur. I remember when we went to Ekachakra. So you were there?
Yeah.
And there was a blind singer. You know? There's one very person there, he's a devotee, but he's blind. But he plays fantastic mridanga. And then you just ask him to sing songs about Lord Nityananda, and he sings all of these. Goranga, he'll sing Goranga Bolite, but he says, Nitai Gunamai, and these songs, and he just sits down and sings, and he's blind. So to get Lord Nityananda's mercy, we need to do what Lord Nityananda did, and that was that Lord Nityananda gave up Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company, although unwillingly, and he went and he preached, and he got people to chant Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name, he got people to chant Hare Krishna, and really spread Krishna consciousness. So he's like the general of the preaching movement. Now, Chaitanya Bhagavat begins with this shloka. How does the shloka begin? Sankirtanaya pitaro kamalaya taksho Vishwambaro vijaburo yugadharma pavo vande maha karunayakshaka. So I have this problem about forgetting first lines. Anyway, but Sankirtanaya Pitaro. Sankirtanaya Pitaro means the Pita, or the founding fathers of the Sankirtan movement. Lord Nityananda, and he's singing about Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ajano Lambutabhujo Kananaiva Kaivo. Sankirtanaya Pitaro. Ajano Lambutabhujo Kanakaiva Tato. Sankirtana Ayavapitaro Kamalaya Daksha. Yes, that's, it starts like that. Ajano Lambita Bhujoga means that his arms reach down, their arm, with their arms reaching down past their knees. Kamalaya Daksha and beautiful lotus eyes. Sankirtana Ayavapitaro, who are the Pitaro, the founding fathers of the Sankirtan movement. Vishwambaro, Vijabaro, Yugakarmakaro, Vande Jagat Yataro, Paranam. So he's speaking about Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the generals of Sankirtan, and particularly Lord Nityananda, because Lord Nityananda actually preached quite more extensively than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching really lasted for 6 years. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, there's the period prior to his taking sannyas where he was doing sankirtan and Navadvip. But in terms of traveling, preaching, and going places, that took place only for the 6 years that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and after that, for the last 18 years, he stayed put in Puri. And more or less it was just sankirtan there. But Lord Nityananda traveled. He traveled very extensively. He traveled for a long period of time. He lived for a long time. And then he was succeeded by his wife, Janava. Vasudha, she was more the mother. She was the mother of children. And Janava was the guru and the acharya, which was very interesting that she was the acharya of Sampradaya after Lord Nityananda's disappearance. She had such an exalted status. So, to carry on the preaching of Lord Nityananda, that's the real business of devotees. And by doing that, one gets Lord Nityananda's mercy. Samsarabhasana. And the symptom of getting mercy is one becomes liberated. So, to achieve this liberated platform, and then of course Srila Prabhupada is also quoting from Nayambala Atva Hinyanalabhya, that one cannot achieve spiritual potency or spiritual strength without getting the spiritual strength from Bala. Bala means Lord Balaram or Lord Nityananda. So spiritual strength comes from him, and that's why Srila Prabhupada spoke so many times. He pointed out that if we also want to overcome the urges of sex life, we should pray to Lord Balaram for strength to do that. And for us, Lord Balaram is Lord Nityananda. He's appeared in this age, and here's the person who we're depending upon. And once one has become liberated, then one can actually enter into Vrindavan or into the mood of Vrindavan. So then the next shloka says, Vishaya Charya Havi Shuddha Havimana Kavi Hava Hivara Sri Vrindavana. Vishaya Charya Mana Shuddha. When one's mind and heart becomes completely Shuddha, pure, Vishaya, free from all Vishaya, then one can enter into Vrindavan. So Vrindavan really means to enter into the original spiritual world. And so this is the process that's being outlined for us, that we have to get Lord Nityananda's mercy by preaching, we have to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy by chanting Hare Krishna, being able to chant with tears in our eyes, freed from the influence of the illusory energy, then we can enter into the realm of Vrindavan. Vrindavan means where Krishna is the center. And how do you place Krishna in the center? Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoibe Akuti Kabe Habasi Bhaja Yugala Kiriti. So if you want to know what Yugala Kiriti is, if you want to know what putting Krishna in the center of Vrindavan means, then Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoibe Akuti. And it's very interesting how Prabhupada translates this word Akuti. He said, if you read the books written by Rupa, by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, then you'll know how to put Krishna into, as the center of your life, and make him the focus of all your meditations. And then once again he says Rupa Raghunatha Pade Ityara Poi Vash. In Rupa Raghunathi, that's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyway, then again he offers his prayers to Rupa Raghunath. And interestingly enough, Srila Prabhupada in some places translates that if we learn how to love Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis, then ultimately we'll be able to achieve the perfection of devotional service following along this path that Narottam Das Thakur is teaching. And the whole key is chanting Hare Krishna, of course. The key to purification is chanting, the key to preaching is chanting, and ultimately the key to even understanding the books of the Goswamis or Acharyas is also based upon chanting, because the purer the heart becomes, the more we can understand the science of pure devotion, and then janma karma chami divyam evam jivriti tatvataha tat chakvadeham punarjanma. Or in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then it says Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Koi. So, to be guru, or to be preaching effectively, you need to understand Krishna Tattva. And this Krishna Tattva we understand through Shastra, and we'll understand it through Shastra, provided that we chant Hare Krishna nicely. So all of these things are add up, and Narottam Das Thakur is really enjoining us to chant Hare Krishna and get other people to chant Hare Krishna. Study books of the Acharyas, learn how to follow them and serve them with all our hearts, and that way all the benefits of Krishna consciousness accrue. Anyone have questions?
You sent down studying how to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda to preach. So I'm just wondering, sometimes the mind is not very keen to go out and preach. How do we defeat the mind?
How do we what?
Defeat the mind. The mind doesn't want to go out and preach because it doesn't want to go out at the same time. How to start?
Well, same way you've been doing it for 25 years. You just keep doing it in the same way. That's the way we do it, because it's, I mean, Srila Prabhupada made this statement to, I think it was Bhavananda Prabhu, and he said that Krishna wanted me to go and I didn't want. He said it's such a bad place. And Krishna said, anyway, just go and I'll take care of everything. So, in other words, if we're in a context that he explains it, Bhavananda explains it, Prabhupada was talking about, you know, being in the spiritual world. So, you know, they don't even want to go out on Sankirtan from there. So it's not surprising that you may not want to go out on Sankirtan from here. Still, Krishna's asking, but anyway, go do it for me. So, okay. In other words, it's nasty business being out there with materialistic people, but that's our tapasya, and that's what makes it tapasya. Tapasya is doing something that you wouldn't otherwise want to do.
Practice.
that it shouldn't distract from hearing the holy name. Just the example that Srila Prabhupada gives of how you refine sugar, and it keeps getting thicker and thicker and thicker. That example is given as being a part explanation for the different rasas, how they also get thicker and thicker. But the interesting part is, which is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nectar of Devotion, is the quality of that, the characteristic of the previous rasa is present in the next one also. So, for instance, in a paternal relationship, there's also friendship, there's also servitude, there's also reverence, as well as paternal. And the conjugal relationship has all of them. It isn't just conjugal. It has the unique feature of giving oneself wholly to Krishna, but it also has all of the other previous ones as well. And so there's also a krama, there's also a systematic development of chanting, which means that thinking of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan will come last. So it's not artificial. Artificial word. In other words, it may not be spontaneous. That type of, you know, forced thinking may not be spontaneous. There's a natural spontaneous thing. But, so therefore, it's still a type of forced or practiced thing. But artificial and sort of okay thinking of Krishna's pastimes is when, even though one is thinking of Krishna's pastimes, the chanting, which is the first, notice first is nama, and that's you're hearing the name, and then you're, you know, by doing that properly, these one should awaken the taste for Krishna's qualities, guna, rupa, form, and then Krishna's pastimes. So if, you know, you chant Hare Krishna and you end up saying the mantra backwards by trying to remember Krishna's pastimes, then that's artificial. But therefore, good hearing should be included in remembering Krishna's pastime. And if that's all right, if one can do that, hearing the holy name very clearly, speaking it very nicely, then it's all right. And if not, then you shouldn't do it. Then you have to keep practicing more. And it's artificial. Artificial means that even if you're, it's not happening. So then it won't, it'll end up becoming offensive because you're inattentive. So the point is that one should always be attentive to the holy name, whatever one's doing. And if you're experimenting, and when you're experimenting, you become inattentive to the holy name, then you shouldn't. To remain attentive.
Well, your books in the Bhakti Sindhavan says you should meditate on reading the Bible's mantra. And it seems that Hari refers to Krishna in some parts, and Hari refers to Srimati Radharani in some parts. It just seems very difficult because Krishna chanted very slowly to be able to think about the devotion.
The way it's done is that you chant Hare Krishna and you just meditate on the first, like, for instance, there are 16 words, so maybe each round you meditate on one word. You meditate on the first word on the first round, and second word on the second round. But provided that you can hear properly. And the benefit of that is that by that meditation of the meaning, when one has done that, then by repeating the mantra itself becomes more potent. development becomes more mature because your understanding of it becomes deeper just by meaningful meditation on something. Lifting up Govardhan Hill, Leela, then Krishna tells Nanda Maharaj, he says, are you doing this ritual just because it's our tradition, or is there actually some understanding behind this? He says, because you get one result by knowing what the purpose is, but you get a lesser result if you just do it without knowledge. So Krishna points out that a different result of an activity is obtained when it's done with knowledge than when it's just done without. So he said, if you want me to engage in this, then tell me what it's about. Otherwise I'm not going to get the result. So then he explained to him the sort of worshipping Indra. What it is.
I was reading a book of Prabhupada, and he said that the pure devotional service is free from all the material desire and also spiritual desire. My question is, if we do our service with the desire to become a true material, this is selfish or
spiritual desire means that in the third canto, Lord Kapila describes this that I will render devotional service if I go to Vaikuntha, if I get the same opulence as Krishna, if I get a body like Lord Narayana. In other words, it's conditional to doing that. That's a different thing. In other words, that's a different thing than maintaining the desire that I want to be with Krishna. That's a natural desire. But it's not that, well, if I don't go back to Godhead, I'm not going to engage in devotional service. That's a different thing than I'm engaging in devotional service and I have a desire to go back to Godhead. That's fine. But if Krishna tells me, okay, that's fine, but I want you to go to somewhere else, then we say, all right, well, that's fine. So we see that. We see that as a characteristic of Krishna's associates. They want to be with Krishna. They want to go where Krishna goes. Lord Chaitanya's associates want to be with him. Lord Nityananda, wasn't it you just sort of gave up the idea of being with Lord Chaitanya so easily? But ultimately, whatever the Lord wants, that's what we do, so that's pure devotional service. So it's not that devotees have no desires, but their service isn't conditional to any desire. That's what it means, that it's free from desire. The service is free from desire. You're not serving to fulfill some desire. You're serving to please Krishna. But that doesn't mean we don't have any desires at all. We have so many desires. Have some of the desires in our service. That's fine.
In Shastras, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Kirtan and Sadhana, that we should chant all the time. And since and it's nearby stage, we come to offices all the time.
So if we
chant,
it's like we are
committing
offenses
like too much. And
then
is it
not going to be like a hindrance to our spiritual purpose? No, because we're doing what Lord Chaitanya said. But he said, we should cultivate that mentality. But yes, we should just chant as much as possible. Keep chanting. Of course, you know, everything that we do is direct, is related to chanting. When we go out on Sankirtan, we're chanting. That's also chanting. When we're taking prasadam, that's also chanting. When we're worshipping the deity, we're having kirtan here, we're also chanting. because Krishna consciousness movement is meant for spreading the chanting of Krishna consciousness, everything everyone does is actually chanting, but it has to be done in the right frame of mind. But even if it's not done in exactly the right frame of mind, aparadam yuktanam still wants to continue to do it, because by it one will become purified. So little children go to school, so they don't know anything. But still, unless you send them to school, they're not going to learn anything. So it's inevitable that they don't know anything, that's why they're going there. And when they learn basic arts, reading, writing, arithmetic, mathematics, then they can start to really get into the serious stuff. Then they can go to university. So, same thing, we should chant without offense, but unless you happen to be especially gifted from a previous life, in order to chant without offense, you have to start by chanting with offense. And that's all right. That's why I said, Nama Parada Yuktanam, Nami Idam Parantiyagam. So one should chant without offense, but if you can, then chant anyway. And the more you chant, the closer, faster you'll get to offenseless chanting. It's self-purifying. There's nothing else, we'll leave it till tomorrow and we'll try and be more on time tomorrow. We'll get caught up in a telephone call. And now we have some traditional rainy weather. Yes, it's a wonderful thing, chanting Hare Krishna. We all get a taste how wonderful it is sometimes. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just gives us a little mercy, just so we know what it can be like all the time. Unfortunately, we also sometimes, or very often, lose that taste because it's a product of some special mercy or just some extended preaching or kirtan or sankirtan or something just sort of matured and gave us a taste for what we're always hankering. But if we continue, then it will come and come and come, and ultimately it will reveal everything. And it's so simple, just this one thing, chanting Hare Krishna. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Gaura Nitya ki jai. Jai.